Welcome to Christ in Prophecy. I'm Nathan Jones, Internet Evangelist for Lamb and Lion Ministries, and with me today is Director and Senior Evangelist Tim Moore. For those of you who are just joining us on our weekend program, Lamb and Lion Ministries is a non-denominational ministry whose mission it is to proclaim the soon return of Jesus Christ. Well, Tim, you and I have dedicated many hours to studying Bible prophecy, but I think it's fair to say that there are many Christians who have not spent a lot of time looking at Bible prophecy, in part because it can seem confusing, controversial, or intimidating.
You know, that's right, Nathan. In fact, we know that there have been many times in the history of the church when the role of prophecy in Scripture has been minimized, and there have even been some attempts to discredit whole books of the Bible, like the book of Daniel, specifically because it includes predictive prophecies. But we are going to make the case today that Bible prophecy is an accurate and important part of our faith. We need to read and understand the whole Bible. That's our focus here on Christ in Prophecy. We want to help you understand what's going on in the world from a biblical perspective. So today, we're going to talk about the book of Daniel, which includes many fascinating prophecies, some fulfilled, and more yet to be fulfilled. And as we seek to understand Daniel, we'll discover God's message of hope.
Well, we're so glad you could join us. This is the start of an exciting 5-episode series about the book of Daniel. It's only 12 chapters long, but Daniel is a major book of prophecy that has so much to say about the end times. And Daniel lays a crucial foundation for the coming kingdom of God. It's going to be an exciting and eye-opening episode. In the meantime, we invite you to come to our website at christinprophecy.org. There we have a wealth of information about Bible prophecy, the newsletter you can sign up for, magazines, videos. We've got it all. Check us out at christinprophecy.org.
This world is the source of endless distractions and sinful enticements that assault our devotion to Christ. Scrolling through social media rarely improves your walk with the Lord. But knowing Bible prophecy can help you remember what endures. Here at Christ in Prophecy, we want everyone to know that Jesus is coming back, and He doesn't want His people to be unprepared. So to stay up to date about unfolding events, get a biblical perspective on the signs of the times, and dig deeper into God's prophetic word, check out our free Lamplighter magazine. You can easily sign up to have Lamplighter magazine delivered directly to your email inbox when you go to christinprophecy.org. Sign up today.
We hinted that there's some controversy surrounding the book of Daniel at the top of today's program, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. But first, let's start by presenting an overview of this book. Daniel was written by the prophet Daniel almost 600 years before Christ, and Daniel recorded prophecies about many nations and events that he could not have seen in his lifetime. In fact, the prophecies in Daniel are so accurate that they have drawn criticism over the years from secularists and people even in the church who want to discredit God's word. So let's start by looking at the book of Daniel, when it was written, who wrote it, and why it matters.
Nathan, I think you hit the nail on the head. So many want to discredit Daniel because they just can't imagine that it could have been written ahead of the history that it records. In other words, surely they think Daniel must have been written after the fact, maybe by a group of people instead of one lone prophet inspired by God. And yet that's exactly what it tells us, and that's what we believe.
Well, we know that Daniel was one of the exiles from Jerusalem. King Nebuchadnezzar came down and 3 different exiles took the wealthy, the learned, the elite of Jerusalem and exiled them back to Babylon. So in 605 BC, one of the first of Nebuchadnezzar's exiles, that's when Daniel was taken, he and his friends with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as well, up to Babylon. So it's a historic fact that 605 is the beginning of Daniel's story. But critics will say, well, the prophecies in Daniel are so specific that they must have been written at 100 BC because they have to have happened after Antiochus Epiphanes in 175 to 164 BC plagued Israel.
You know, you're exactly right. When you say 605, you were meaning BC, before Christ. Some nowadays say before Common Era because they don't want to use the name of Christ.
Yeah.
But we use before Christ. He is the hinge point of all of human history. So 600 years before the Messiah was born, Daniel wrote his book. And what's interesting even beyond that, Nathan, is that Daniel wrote in two different languages. So people, when we read our English versions, we don't understand some of this beauty, but he composed the original first chapter in Hebrew, obviously written to a Hebrew audience, his fellow exiles, and eventually those even who remained perhaps back in the land. Chapters 2 through 7 were written in Aramaic. That was sort of the lingua franca of the day, the language that was common to peoples all throughout the known world, at least that region of the world. And so Aramaic was still in use even in Jesus' day and age, and as people traveled, that would have been a more common language. And then in chapters 8 through 12, he switched back to Hebrew. It's as if Daniel wanted to make sure the children of Israel, the Hebrews, understood certain parts, but he wanted other sections of his book to be understood even by those who were not fluent in Hebrew. And so we do know that he was an exile. That helps us date the book very accurately. You mentioned the names given to his three friends as they were taken there into captivity in Babylon. But of course, their Hebrew names were different than that. It was Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or to bed we go, because those are the names we learned in children's school and church years ago. But again, they had Hebrew names.
Yes, or if you watch VeggieTales when you're a kid, Rack, Shack, and Benny, right?
Exactly right. So we know Daniel wrote this book. We know who he wrote it to, not only Jews, but Gentiles alike. So what does this say to the criticism that people just simply don't want to believe that it could have been written ahead of time?
Well, like you said, they couldn't use the fact that Daniel used Aramaic because Aramaic was used during Jesus' time. It was used all the way. It was the language of the Medo-Persian Empire. It was very common at that time. But you can go to the Septuagint, which was the Old Testament was translated from Hebrew into Greek, and it was compiled about 200 BC, and the book of Daniel's in there, 100 years before the skeptics said so. We also have Josephus, who recorded that Alexander the Great came to Jerusalem in 333 BC, and the high priest showed him the book of Daniel, which was a prophecy about Alexander the Great coming to conquer. And Alex was like, I'm not going to conquer your town because I was prophesied in there. So the fact that in 333 BC, they were pointing back to Daniel. And then, of course, in Matthew 24:15, Jesus himself quoted from Daniel as a prophet in exile. So the Lord ourselves authenticated the date of the book of Daniel, and it's not as the skeptics say.
It is not. We know that other prophets, specifically Jeremiah, prophesied Cyrus, and that king was amazed that the word of God, the Hebrew testaments that were already possessed in those days and age, referred to him specifically by name. You mentioned Alexander the Great. And so we can believe that this is true because the Lord has revealed all of his word, Old Testament and New. You know, we like to say that Jesus is concealed in the Old Testament, he is revealed in the New Testament. And yet, even as we go to the end of the entire Bible, the book of Revelation, many simply don't want to believe it, and because they don't believe it, they cannot understand it. But Henry Morris, the founder of the Institute for Creation Research, likes to say about Revelation, it's not hard to understand, it's hard to believe. But if you will believe it, you will understand it. I submit the same is true about the book of Daniel and the entirety of God's prophetic word. If you will believe it, then you will begin to understand it.
Yes, and accept the fact that Daniel wrote the book of Daniel. I mean, critics will say, well, we don't know who wrote the book of Daniel. Yes, we do. Daniel says he wrote the book of Daniel. The evidence is there. We also have Ezekiel attesting to Daniel in Ezekiel 14:14, and even the angel Gabriel. So, yes, the book of Daniel is well attested that Daniel wrote it, and he wrote it in the 6th century B.C.
I'll tell you what, let's take a brief break for a moment, Nathan, and when we come back, we'll discuss why the book of Daniel matters to our lives today.
As you listen to Christ in Prophecy every weekend, your hosts will explain the 6 categories of the signs of the times revealed in God's prophetic word: signs of nature, signs of society, spiritual signs, both positive and negative, signs of world politics, signs of technology, and finally, signs of Israel. In the past, some of these signs have been revealed to us, a little here and a little there. What is remarkable about right now is that all of the signs are being activated and pointing to the soon return of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that these signs will increase in frequency and intensity until the Lord is right at the door. To find out more, keep listening to Christ in Prophecy, watch our weekly TV program, and subscribe to the Lamplighter magazine. It's all available at christinprophecy.org.
Welcome back to Christ in Prophecy and our conversation about the book of Daniel. Over the next few weeks, we'll take a deep dive into the book of Daniel, focusing on his story, fulfilled prophecies, and prophecies yet to be fulfilled, and of course, how we can apply the lessons in Daniel to our lives today. But right up front, Nathan, let's discuss why the book of Daniel matters to our lives today.
Oh, that's so important. Let's put the critics aside. Let's trust the Bible to be the Bible. And when we trust that the Bible was written by Daniel in the 500s BC, we can take the fact that the Bible has predictive prophecy. Daniel was given prophecies ahead of time before things happened. So yes, the Bible has predictive prophecies. It also proves the accuracy of the Bible. There's no other religious text in the world that has such accurate prophecy. So yes, the accuracy of the Bible. It also reveals that we have an all-knowing God who knows the future and that we can know the future when we study the Word of God. So yes, Tim, totally agree. Daniel matters so much to our lives today.
Well, obviously, in a couple of weeks, we're going to talk about prophecies that have been fulfilled. Next week, we'll talk about Daniel's story, his life story that so many of us are already familiar with. But let's give a little bit of a preview of some of the application of how Daniel is relevant to our lives today just by looking at current events. I'll mention one that comes to the top of my mind. Daniel has a lot to say about the Antichrist, about this final world kingdom. And right before our eyes, we can see that events are conspiring, and sometimes elites and others are conspiring to try to bring about a one world government, something the world has clamored for ever since Babel. And yet today, through technology, through a push toward unifying and homogenizing all the nations of the world, we're beginning to see a one-world government come into shape.
Yes, and it's a government that's based on lawlessness and immorality. Got a good article here by Mike Spaulding, posted in Harbinger's Daily. It's the question, why the once strong moral and social fabric of America is slowly tearing apart? And Mike Spaulding poses this question. He says, we're living in unprecedented times. America appears to be imploding. The once strong moral and social fabric of American society has become threadbare, and it's showing serious signs of tearing apart. How did this happen? How did this happening seemingly overnight? Tim, the answer, he says, is evil has been allowed to permeate every facet of our government, civic and social institutions, and has propagandized a critical mass of Americans. We can see that in our day and age, not just in America, but around the world. Jesus said that as we got closer to his return, the end times, that the world would become like the days of Lot and the days of Noah. And that was defined by the fabric of society being decayed, the moral fabric, into the point of lawlessness.
You know, we can also witness in more recent history that out of disorder comes a clamor for order. And so you can look at Nazi Germany in the 1930s, things were in a shambles. The First World War had destroyed so much of Germany's infrastructure. Their economy was collapsed. And so out of this sense of disorder and chaos, one person emerged to say, hey, I can restore order. I can make the trains run on time. I'll restore our national pride. And the Germans embraced a madman named Adolf Hitler. And so right now, our world is swirling into chaos, into disorder, and there are more and more people clamoring for some sense of order, for some individual to step forward and right the ship, if you will. And we know that the Antichrist is going to do just exactly that after the Lord removes the church at the rapture. And so Daniel has much to say about the Antichrist, this king who will come to set up the final world kingdom, and he will elevate himself. He's called the little horn in Daniel, and we see all of those mechanisms coming into play. Nathan, you often talk about the technology that is out there right now that will give this final world dictator the ability to control the buying and selling and individual liberties, et cetera, under his one world government.
Oh, absolutely. I think we saw it with Justin Trudeau and the truckers' protest. He shut down all their finances, all their insurance, all their life support, basically, and then he punished people who gave them money. And that's exactly what we read in Revelation 13. When the false prophet institutes the mark of the beast system in the tribulation, not today, but in the tribulation, he will control the people by controlling their money. And like you said, we have the technology today. We have the e-commerce. We have the scannable tattoos. We have the ability to shut people's money off if they disagree with us. And we're already seeing it today.
We certainly are. Here's another example just from modern times of how we can witness some of the events conspiring just as Daniel foretold. We know that the Antichrist in the fullness of time will come against the people of God. He will seek to destroy the Jewish people because that's always been Satan's goal. And so today we see hate-filled, satanically inspired groups like Hamas and Hezbollah following in the footsteps of Hitler and Haman trying to destroy the Jewish people. So even the war that Israel is in the midst of right now in Gaza is yet another manifestation of the satanically inspired hatred that Daniel talked about will be fulfilled in the person of the Antichrist. So we can see all that coming to pass even in the current events of today.
Excellent point, Tim. Well, folks, stick with us. We're going to be back in just a moment and get back into our teaching of Daniel. Stay tuned.
When you scroll through the daily news, you almost always hear bad news. It's easy to forget that there's anything good happening in the world today. But here at Christ in Prophecy, we want to proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ is returning soon. So swipe away the endless bad news and open up our free online Lamplighter magazine to discover your blessed hope. In the Lamplighter magazine, we explain why the nations are raging against each other in war, what's really happening in culture, and why you can have hope in Christ. The Lamplighter magazine is available in email, print, and downloadable formats. Sign up today at ChristInProphecy.org.
Well, welcome back to Christ in Prophecy Radio. Tim and I have already addressed the authorship, date of writing, and established the importance of the book of Daniel. Now let's look at Daniel himself. I think most Christians are familiar with the highlights of Daniel. So let's get into it, Tim.
Yeah, you know, Nathan, I think we mentioned earlier, even in Sunday school as a child, I learned some of the highlights of Daniel's life, how he was a young man taken into exile, how he refused to eat the king's choice food. He said, no, I'll just eat vegetables, along with his three buddies. And they still had great vigor and were impressive to the king's servants. And so he eventually elevated to being a favored wise guy, if you will, within that group of servants. And he very quickly was singled out for his ability to understand and interpret dreams. And so Nebuchadnezzar had a very strange dream of a great statue, and all of his other, I already call them wise guys, couldn't even tell him what the dream was, let alone interpret it.
Yes, Daniel survived too quite a number of different kings throughout Babylon, and then he went right into the Medo-Persian Empire when they conquered Babylon, and he saw the handwriting on the wall. You know that famous term when Belshazzar brought in the temple treasuries and he used them as party favors, and all of a sudden this hand appeared on the wall saying that he was weighed in the scales and found wanting. Later we'll see that Daniel underneath Darius the Mede was then thrown into a lion's den and survived the lion's den too. So Daniel lived probably a life more exciting than most of us would want to live.
He certainly did, and yet early on, it says that Daniel purposed in his heart to remain faithful to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In other words, he determined that regardless of what came his way, whatever pressures were imposed upon him, he would not be absorbed into this new culture, but he would remain true to the Lord God. And I think that's a great lesson for us today, and one we'll probably double down on in a moment. But we also know that Daniel prayed and studied God's word. Some of his insights came from reading and understanding Bible prophecy as it had already been recorded prior to him.
And it's interesting, too, that Daniel, of all the characters in the Bible, other than Jesus, of course, has no recorded character flaw or incidents of shortcoming. Yet in chapter 9, Daniel accepts personal responsibility for the sins of his people. How many people do that who are righteous, but then take responsibility for their sins of their people and intercede and pray to God to have mercy?
You know, I think that is an absolutely wonderful point. Every year we have a National Day of Prayer, and Christians around the country are quick to cite the chapter, or 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, which says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. And many people do that. They pray earnestly, and I don't take for granted those earnest prayers. But how many of us take, as Daniel did, responsibility for the corporate sins of our nation? And I think Daniel is such an exemplar for doing just that. He almost stands in as a Christ figure. I don't elevate him to the position of Jesus Christ, but by taking on the sins of his people and asking for forgiveness. And of course, Nathan, we know our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, did just that, taking on your sins and mine and the sins of the entire world who will trust in him.
That's why it's so important, especially in election times, this being an election year. If we remember the last election, we had men like Franklin Graham and Jonathan Cahn and others try to lead the country to national repentance. And that begins with each and every one of us. Even if we are considered not having character flaws because the Lord Jesus Christ has saved us, we still call out to him and ask. Somebody from our country has got to call to the Lord and ask for forgiveness of our sins. We have grieved the Lord greatly. Well, Tim, what prophecies do you think from Daniel are particularly important to us today?
Wow, I think there are so many fulfilled promises and prophecies that demonstrate the accuracy of Scripture. So as teachers of Bible prophecy, we're going to highlight some of those, but we do have an advantage even over Daniel. From 2,600 years ago, we have hindsight, and so we can see those prophecies that have been fulfilled in the life of Jesus Christ, the first coming of the Messiah. And of course, we know him by name. We know he has come, and we know he's coming again. But we also see other prophecies that about the end times that are yet to be fulfilled. So Daniel is a preview of Revelation. It's sort of Revelation in the Old Testament.
Yes.
And if you want to understand all the promises that remain, all the prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled, you really need to study and be grounded in the book of Daniel. And so I think that all of the prophecies are ones that are important, whether it's the kingdoms that have risen and fallen, the one world government, final world kingdom that is yet to come, or the wonderful millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ and the eternal kingdom that will follow, which is represented by a stone uncut by human hands in the words of Daniel interpreting Nebuchadnezzar's dream.
And there's so many prophecies that the Lord gave that were written in past tense to show for the God it's already happened. Well, folks, we're so glad that you could come with us today on this adventure through the book of Daniel. Tim's going to come back in just a few minutes. He's got a great word of encouragement. So please stay on and we will get right into that encouraging word. God bless. Hello, this is Nathan Jones, inviting you to attend our annual Lamb and Lion Ministries Bible Conference coming up on Friday, June 14th and all day Saturday, June 15th. There are signs pointing to the decline of our country all around. The mental health crisis, economic instability, open borders, and chaotic foreign policy, just to name a few. Many people are looking forward to the coming election in hope of meaningful change. Find out how you can have hope, even as we witness a nation in free fall. You'll hear from powerful speakers like Pastor Jack Hibbs and former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, and our very own evangelists Tim Moore, Dave Bowen, and myself as we address the pressing issues of the day from a biblical perspective. Join us in person at Denton, Texas, or via live stream. To find out more about the annual Lamb and Lion Ministries Bible Conference and to register online, go to christinprophecy.org/events. We are looking forward to you joining us this June.
Daniel is one of my favorite books of the Old Testament. He actually writes about the future in a prophetic past tense, as in, to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. We're talking, of course, about Jesus Christ, the Messiah, but Daniel wrote ahead of time about something that would happen in the future. Not only does it offer vivid illustrations of tough and persevering faith, but it also affirms the sovereignty of God and his willingness to reveal his plan for mankind. One of our key verses here at Lamb and Lion Ministries is Daniel 2:22. It is he, the Lord God, who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. As fascinating as the rise and fall of empires and the culmination of human history is, the most profound revelation is the person and purpose of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. We know from hindsight that Jesus has come, bringing salvation to all who put their trust in him. But another key verse from Daniel centers on the promise made to the Messiah. In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put to an end all these kingdoms, but it itself will endure forever. Certainly all the signs of the times declare that we are living on the cusp of the fulfillment of that prophecy. As we approach the end times Daniel foretold, the words he concealed and sealed up 2,600 years ago are coming to light as never before. You know, I've often referred to Daniel as an exemplar, and one of the things we can learn from his exemplary life is that regardless of circumstances, each and every one of us is called to be an exemplar. There are people around you right now who are watching you, who are watching your living testimony of faith and faithfulness. Friends, family, grandchildren, our coworkers. You can be an exemplar in your own life today. I hope you'll join us next week and over the next month as we continue our study of Daniel. Until then, as we await our soon coming king, join us in crying out as Daniel did, "For your sake, O my God, do not delay." Godspeed.